It should have focused on understanding the schoolwork and the material that was provided instead of stressing about all the outside resources. There was a chance I had wasted the little time that I had, which in turn led me to lose those small little points for little facts that I could have just easily memorized if I had just focused on the material and the questions they provided. You don't understand a specific disease, then you can go in outside resources. But if you spend a lot of time going to outside resources, then you won't have enough time to just focus on the information that they're testing you on. Welcome to Life as a Patient Doctor. I'm your host, Stephanie Moss, navigating life as a patient and a future MD. Walk alongside me as I reflect on the challenges and lessons I have learned undergoing medical school with invisible disabilities. Join me as I interview other doctors, students, and healthcare workers on their own journeys. Listen to their unique stories on how they have balanced their health while caring for others in the health profession. So I'm back for part two episode. I remember my first year of medical school, all these names were thrown around, sketchy, inky, pathoma. And I was like, oh my God, this is so stressful. I don't understand when to use which resource. So that's what I hope to break it down a little bit. I should have focused on understanding the schoolwork and the material that was provided instead of stressing about all the outside resources. Each med school exam was very specific to what they provided. And if I learned things outside of the curriculum, including preparing for STEP, there was a chance I had wasted the little time that I had, which in turn led me to lose those small little points for little facts that I could have just easily memorized if I had just focused on the material and the questions they provided. So that was a big thing, especially for our medical school. Focus on the content they provide you. And then if you don't understand a specific disease, then that is provided, then you can go in outside resources. But if you spend a lot of time going to outside resources, then you won't have enough time to just focus on the information that they're testing you on. And this is kind of a lesson that you'll implement throughout. For example, if you're studying for step one and learning material outside of first aid or outside of UWorld, they're not testing on that information. And so again, you only have so much mental energy. It's not that you're not intelligent enough or you're not able to understand the material. It's just, there's almost so much time that you can focus on learning the material. So there is a benefit to go to outside resources when I didn't understand something. However, I wish I could have just given myself a time limit so I wouldn't get stuck in the weeds for over an hour. Later, I learned to just set aside 5 to 10 minutes to look up each concept I didn't understand after I had completed my school material. Really just focus on the materials provided by the school. There's a reason they provide them. It's because they found through years or through other students that it is helpful to at least learn the material. And so I highly recommend all students use the material first that the school provides you, especially because on the exams, that is what they're going to be testing you on. So even if it's slightly different than STEP, it at least provides you a strong foundation of the information. And then if you don't understand the information after using their resource, that's when you can then go to outside resources like Boards and Beyond for videos, practice questions, AMBOS, UWorld, Sketchy, Pixarize. There are so many. And I actually did a link where I really just focused on all the types of resources available. So I'm going to go, since I have it in front of me, I'm going to go to that specific blog post that I can actually see all the different resources that I recommended that were really helpful to me and for a lot of other students. Well, on the blog post and on the podcast, Surviving the Taboos of Medical School, there's a section that I talk about challenges with academics and different resources. I split it up to learn all subjects beyond what your school provides. Or like if you're going back for step prep, learning all subjects, Boards and Beyond, Osmosis, Ambos, and Online MedEd are some great resources where you can learn information in different types of ways, whether if that's through videos, cartoon videos, a lecture. Those are four great ways to just learn the information or see it from a different perspective. And they're made specifically for medical students or students. So it really helps you know the information that you need to know for your level. And then you can also keep going back when you're either studying for STEP or you're M3 or M4. I'm actually right now, I'm using Ambos while I'm in my emergency medicine clerkship as I'm going through practice questions with them, because they also have practice questions. Sometimes a word comes up that I'm like, oh, I remember that disease. I want a little bit more information. Click each like word and it'll come up with like an article and more information, the pathology, the treatments, a differential diagnosis. So that's really helpful. Osmosis was provided by our school, and actually a lot of our instructors were a part of writing it. So for the first year we got for free, and it was really helpful for me because they had really great microbiology and biochemistry. They had some great videos. Hey, pathology. Pathoma is definitely the well-known one. They have an online videos and also a book. For histology, a great recommendation is Histology Guide. It's a free online resource that a lot of histologists, instructors actually pull pictures directly from there. And especially where you have to like really know what different types of cells look like, a neutrophil versus a basophil, that is a really great resource. And then if you want to memorize with pictures, which at some point, all of us, it helps something fun. There's kind of three great resources, which is Sketchy. Everyone knows Sketchy, Pixarize, and Picmonic. Those are kind of the three main ones that take content, put it in a fun picture to help you remember different things. So for microbiology, so for like Staph aureus, they have a picture of the Red Sea. They have Moses holding up the staff of aureus. And see, I'm just pulling it, even though it's been like 3 years since I've seen them. They have a camel, which shows the tricuspid valves, a thing for to show like HIV. So you know that people who do drugs and most likely have HIV, a tricuspid regurgitation, infection, and they have a little heart. So you know it's on the tricuspid heart. So like different little pictures to help you remember different microbiology and all this stuff that has to do with it. For example, they have a van, so you know that vancomycin, great drug specifically for Staph aureus. And they have that for every single virus, bacteria, fungi. So that's microbiology. They also have pharmaceutical, different things to remember each medication, and similar things for Pixarize and Picmonic. Next, great useful resource for anatomy is University of Michigan Pictures. There are pictures of actual cadavers that you can use and remember. And then there's also an app that I love called Complete Anatomy that is a 3D image that you can move around, cut, and really understand where the different vessels are. That is a really great resource. I need to remember to put it on there. Cardiology, UMichigan has some great heart sounds, which will help understand different heart sounds, which are also good for step one and step two, where you actually have a fake stethoscope on the screen and you can hear the different heart sounds and you have to identify them. So that's a great way. Quizzing yourself, Anki is, of course, we've talked about, and Ambos connects with Anki. So you can click directly from your Anki computer app or phone app and go straight to Ambos. But there are other types of ways to quiz yourself and flashcards. Osmosis has one. Ambos has one. UWorld has one. Dermatology, DermNet is a great free online resource that you can actually see what a lot of these rare skin disorders and see it in different skin tones, which is super important because not a lot of times we actually see what a lot of these skin conditions look like in individuals who have darker skin. So DermNet has a lot of different views of the same type of skin disorder, but in different types of skin types. And then Step Exam Prep, of course, UWorld number one. NBMEs, which actually creates the STEP exams, but right now we're just focusing on first year of medical school. Going back to notes, if you see on the picture of my blog post, there was a time where I thought it was really helpful to actually draw everything out myself, which is kind of pro cons. It is helpful to some extent because it's physical, you can do it from memory. However, it does take a lot of time, and time is a big thing in medicine. You don't have a lot of it, so you have to see how to spend your time. And that's where maybe using outside resources that already have the picture, it might be helpful. So you can see on the picture, I have this beautiful heart, but might not have been the best time or best use of my time. Another problem with writing down, since there's so much information, I might draw something wrong, which means I then learn it wrong, which then when the quiz or test comes around, I get it wrong. So I realize that it's helpful to use resources that are going to be correct. I heard some second years recommending using first aid book. And so I got a PDF version of the first aid book and I started writing additional information directly on my PDF pages. That was really helpful for me because I wasn't copying every single information already on the first aid book. It has a quick summary of everything you need to know about that disorder. And then I would grab other information from my own curriculum or from these outside and put it directly on the book. So I knew that when I came around for my step studying, it would all be on that same resource. Now, there are students that did it directly on the physical copy, which is nice. They had like different highlighters or to print out the actual picture of like pathology that wasn't included or histology, and they would glue it to the actual textbook. What I learned is I could do that online. So I used Notability. That's been my favorite resource for PDF versions. I've been using it actually still through college. So I've been using it for 8 years. The biggest thing I learned is when you're adding all these pictures on top of each other, the document can become really big and it's possible that so much information you're putting on it can get moved around. And so one of the things I recommend if you do that is to, at the end of your clerkship, save it to your computer, like export the entire thing as computer and then re-download it. So then it sticks it, the picture to the PDF. And so there's no possibility that that picture or highlighting or written down will move around. Because that was the challenge I had, is that I would come back later on and the written stuff would be moved around and I would have to move around again. Takes time. And this is how I was able to know like what material is extra material and what was specifically from the school. I learned that anything that I highlighted was stuff that was in the content. So for example, if we would go over transient ischemic attack TIAs, I would highlight it and know that my test is going to be on that. And so I didn't have to remember about neonatal intracranial hemorrhage at that time or at that specific test. Now for when step one came around, I would have obviously, you have to know all those different diagnoses, but it was helpful to know that only the highlighted categories were the stuff that was included for my exam. I would also flag the page on the app. And so I would know these 20 pages were included because sometimes it would jump around in my class. So like we would learn not just cardiology, but we would learn Staph aureus because Staph aureus is connected. Individuals can become infected with Staph aureus in their heart. And so, but Staph aureus is in the microbiology, which is in a completely different section in the first aid book. So I would go in and flag that. And so by the time I got to my exam for my course, I knew that all the flag pages were the things I had to go and review. Next, I'm going to talk about nature and how that was a really important aspect in helping us survive our first year of medical school. Coming from Colorado to Chicago made us miss nature and the mountains greatly. A lot of people actually ask me if I want to go back to Colorado or how I'm able to do so well in Chicago. And what I always tell people is take the mountains and replace them with a lake. And that's Chicago. And actually Chicago's way more humid and green. Colorado's a desert, which a lot of people don't realize that there's practically very little green unless if you consider a couple months in summer and the pine trees. In our first year medical school, we were on a busy road, and so we didn't have a lot of nature. No, we didn't have any nature except for a couple trees, but we did not have a safe park that we could just go. Thankfully, we found the Morton Arboretum, which really saved our sanity. Every weekend, we would drive an hour to this beautiful paid park and study 6 to 8 hours in this welcome center, which had a gorgeous view of the lake surrounded by trees. And we still have a membership. And the membership is relatively cheap, especially now that we can afford it. I think it's like $100 and it's for the entire year and it's for both of us. So it was really helpful. We gave ourselves a 1 hour lunch break to go on a mini hike to explore the gorgeous grounds. However, we would then go right back to our educational material. Even though we breathed the same medical education air, we really didn't connect during our medical school M1 year. And we're talking about my husband and I. This led us to be individually isolated in our own minds. For me, anxiety and depression drove me to a level I'd never seen before. And I have a link to another blog post that I wrote that's called Call of the Void, Suicide Ideation. So check that out. I'm not going to talk about it during this one, but it is unfortunately a very common thing in the medical educational and in doctors during high stress and burnout. There is a lot of depression and giving up. So check that blog post out, and maybe in the future, I'll do a podcast episode on it and I'll make sure to do a trigger warning. I was very thankful that our school had a mental health center where they had a free PhD psychologist who regularly worked with medical students, residents, and physicians. In college, I had taken advantage of a similar mental health resource, but they only provided 6 therapy appointments for the entire school year. And I was very happy to hear during my M1 year that they provided unlimited sessions. Please check if your own school or work environment has them. Especially after COVID, a lot of schools and work environments have prioritized wellness and mental health and are providing phone numbers, emergency numbers, and additional resources to allow people to go to therapy. And especially as a future mental health professional and doctor, I really want to encourage everyone to seek help and to seek therapy even before things have gone to that worst level, because to have a mental health professional that can support you throughout your experience, whatever you're going through, is so helpful. And especially if you're in the health professions, it's even more important to have therapy, because we see a lot in the medical field, we have a lot of trauma, a lot of pain, a lot of death that we see. And if we're constantly taking that into our own body, it can lead to actual physical manifestations of pain and stress and trauma. And so through having a therapist and someone that knows how to healthily work through all of that trauma is so important. And I'm actually very happy that even a lot of residencies that I've talked to have therapists that meet with the residents, have scheduled meetings with the residents and check-ins, because it is so important. Anyway, going back to my M1 year, because I knew that it was going to be helpful for me and that I was an individual that had a lot of trauma in my life, I knew that I would take full benefit of this. I was super excited, honestly, that there was an unlimited sessions and they were free. I came from a home environment that was not acceptable, things we didn't talk about, mental health or health, it wasn't encouraged. And so having the opportunity to go to a therapist was huge. At the time, I knew that I struggled, but I just couldn't put emotions into words. And so I signed up as quickly as possible from the beginning of medical school to be able to work with therapists. And it's really cool that 4 or 5 years later, I still have the same therapist. So if he's listening, I thank you so much for what you've done and how you've supported me throughout the 4 to 5 years. And I know that he supports a lot of other medical students and residents. So thank you. So I knew it was hard. I remember that the first time I asked my therapist if he thought I suffered from anxiety, it was even hard to utter those words out loud. However, when he matter-of-factly said, yes, I felt a wave of relief fill my being and body. Finally, I found a reason for why I seemed to always struggle with academics compared to my peers. Later on, I would actually get the courage to ask if I could go on anxiety medications, as we had just learned about anxiety medications in our school psychiatry curriculum. But that would be many, many months in the future. At first, was just the first thing was asking for help. And not everyone needs medications. I want to put that out loud. But first was just acknowledging that I had a challenge and I wanted to do something about it. And for me, it was really helpful to give it a name, anxiety or generalized anxiety disorder, because it helped me realize that it wasn't just me. It wasn't something I was making up or all in my head. I understand there is a stigma and a lot of individuals don't like to actually put a name or a label because there is a lot of the DSM, but for me, it was helpful. I'm not going to put this in the podcast. I'm going to allow you to read this. It is a portion about adverse childhood experiences. December 2019 in medical school was the first time I recognized that I had experienced those. And I've spoken on these before, but I don't think this is the place and time to speak about this on this specific episode. So if you want to learn more, check out my other episode, check out my blog post on it, but I'm going to skip this section. It was also, I guess, reason I was talking about is because it was a reason why I had developed anxiety was from my first childhood experiences. I do want to say this little part. I liked this statement. This constant pressure to appease my family led me to become highly sensitive to other people's emotions and led me to become anxious of my surroundings. As I grew older, this social type and anxiety combined with my type A personality into something called the pre-med personality. This personality trait was difficult to remold during the highly stressful M1 year, because it was a trauma response which catered to always comparing myself academically and socially to others. In fact, unprocessed trauma can look like a personality, but it is actually a normal adaptive response to stress. And I put down, check out this blog post to read more about how trauma and adverse childhood experiences impacted my future mental health. Like I said, read that. I'm not going to talk about it in this specific episode. This podcast episode was specifically over my journey through medical school and 1 year. So I'll put it in the podcast so you can go directly to that link. And I'll be doing the same thing for other podcast episodes. So next one will be my second year of medical school, which I've already talked about a little bit in other podcast episodes, but this will be more specifically about academics and things to learn. And so stay tuned for my second year of medical school. Also, I've been so excited that I've been getting a lot of responses and emails to my podcast interviews. And so far I have 10 interviews lined up for the next couple months with medical students, physicians, nurses, different individuals who have disabilities or health conditions and are excited to tell their story and to give advice to help other students, to help improve the culture in medicine about health professionals and doctors being people too, that we can all struggle with mental and physical health conditions and disabilities. So stay tuned for all those interviews. I've already interviewed 2 individuals, Dr. Bisgrove, who is a family medicine physician, and also the head of the AMA disabilities, and then also Jay, who is a medical student with disabilities. So check out those previous episodes. Upcoming, we have some other medical students, so I'm so excited to interview them and publish those episodes. So make sure you have an alert to follow and subscribe so you get notified when those new episodes drop. Also, if you haven't already, please rate. All you have to do is click the amount of stars. That really helps people know that this is a podcast that individuals like. So if you liked this episode, if you liked my other podcast, please click those stars to help increase the rating, increase the amount of individuals who can have access to these podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. If you would like to learn more about my individual journey or other resources that I use both as a patient and as a physician, check out the resources on my website, medpsychmoss.com. And also you can follow me on any types of social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, X. Take care, everyone.